Well, thanks for hitting play on the Bike Lab podcast. We have a person here I've been wanting to have on for a while. Met her through the Hide and Go Back bike ride community and just love everything that she's doing in the cycling community, just reaching out and riding and having good experiences. Blair, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me here.
Yeah, no problem. Now, before we get into anything, you just got back from Mid-South,
mm-hmm.
right? So how many times have you done the Mid-South ride?
So this was year three for me. The first couple of years, I'd done like the short route, that like 56 or 58, whatever it is.
Yeah. We'll call that the Tony, Tony route.
So I went full blast this year, and it was I was not prepared. Okay, so I like had.
So did you have like a hardcore training plan to do this 100 miles?
I did.
And yeah.
I was
okay.
Like,
good.
I was doing not so great with doing that, but I was like, yeah. I was doing some miles. But I had like injury in November, and it kept me off my bike for a minute. I got like a pretty bad concussion, and I was still questionable if I was going to do this like up to like a month ago.
Really?
Because I've been having just a few. Like
that's a pretty intense thing to still show up for when you're. Yeah.
This was like I was like okay. I feel good enough, like, it's safe enough for me, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
just go attempt it. If you can't make it and you can't make it crying it out, like, at least you tried, right? And there's always next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this year I was like, no, I'm not going to back out and do the shorter route. I'm going to, like, go the best I can for the 100. I'm not going to be any younger next year.
Right.
Too bad you didn't get your training in. You ride bikes all the time. Like, now,
just
I've never ridden anything like this. Okay,
right,
this was totally intense because I'm, like, the most of it I've ridden before this was, like, a 74-mile route. And I think it was only like 3,000 something feet of climbing. So
I mean, like, you know, you look at Mid-South and the challenges of that course.
There's water crossing.
If it's like super, super dry, it's sandy. If it's super, super wet, it's muddy. If it's in between, it's at least windy and hilly. Like you're getting hit by things the whole time.
Yeah, so there was a water crossing that I thought was going to be, like, later in the course, but it was, like, at mile 10 into the 100-mile, you know, course. And I was just watching people blast through it. I was like, no, I've got – so I just took, like, the walking route and everything, and I watched the show because it was a show. Okay?
So did everybody just clean it easily, or were people, like
– oh, no, there was
– bombing out.
So a couple people were, like – they bombed it, and then, a couple people, like, you know, they saw, like – what just happened and was like, okay, stay to the left. So, but it was awesome just like blasting that water because it was like your whole bottom bracket. I mean, it was submerged
underwater. So.
Yeah.
For the first 10 miles.
Why not ruin
my bottom bracket now?
Right now. Exactly is what I was thinking. Well, that and the physical challenge. I was like, well, I don't want to like, if I'm like that person that I just saw is soaked now for the rest of the day, I didn't want to be that first.
And soaked in sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, like that red water has sand in it. And once you start to dry out, it's like a day at the beach.
Well, and no matter what, you're going to be eating grit all day long. So, but further into the route, we made it to the first pit stop and it was like, I had a couple of things prepared, but in Mid-South tradition. So, I get scratch in my water bottle and I'm like, hey, yeah, I got some scratch. I'm like, wait a minute. So it's like margarita scratch. Okay. And I'm like, this is for the party people. Like, y'all need to put a sign up. So thankfully, I didn't make it down the road with that. I like gave it to some other, you know.
So like margarita, like it had alcohol and scratch in it.
Tequila and like a lemon lime scratch.
At the first stop?
At the first, which was like it was a 30-mile stop for us. And like
it was
halfway for the shorter route. So, I was like, okay, well, at least I didn't make it down the road with this. And that was all I had.
Like you keep hitting like, you know what? Feeling really good and kind of tired.
Yeah, it's kind of like a motivator. It's a little early for me to start.
That's
like,
early.
That kind of
That's
motivator.
That's early. Yeah, you gotta wait until it's like you can see the finish or know the finish is coming. You can't do that when you got 70 miles.
10 miles, no. Right? And so, just be real, man. There were some tears. Okay, I made it to the halfway point and was like rolling with some of my homies and not much, Nadine from riding with Hide and Go Bike and stuff. But
yeah.
We were kind of like, you know, back and forth, running into each other on the course.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, we're going to do this. And then I was having complete mental and physical, like at this point, like questioning, you know, like, what am I doing?
Life choices.
And it's like, it got harder than I thought. I was like, okay, I don't know if I can finish this. And then, so I was like, see y'all later. Y'all do your own thing. I'm going to do my thing. And then I sat there with my thoughts for a minute and was like, I'm done. You know, whatever. I'm not going to do this. And I went like, a half a mile back down the hill and like was standing because we had just hit like a split off for like 50 mile route and like a different route for the
100. So it was decision time.
And I was like looking at the signs, looking at like my bib number, and was like, you're okay with doing this? Like, you're just going to go back to town with the 100 bib and you're doing this shorter route. And so I was like, no, like I'm not. Anyway, so I make my way back up the hill. And what I did, what I missed on the first part when I left, there was some dudes having a maintenance. They're a three guy team from, I forget, I think it was, they said like Sheboygan or I don't, somewhere out of state.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm quitting. And anyway, so I come back through and I was like, don't judge me. I'm doing this till I cry.
Yeah.
And then I guess till I cry some more. And they were like, yes.
No, 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 so I'll go cry together.
Yeah. So I like make it through that hurdle. And
wow.
It was very like, I was like on. So I ended up running to them at the 50 mile marker.
Yeah.
But from the 50, like 2 to 89, it was me by myself. The only people I passed were like motorists, like, are you okay? Because it was starting to get like dusk, you know, it was like,
yeah.
Time. And I was like, yeah, I'm just doing this wild race, you know,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm the last person out here, which thankfully I wasn't like dead last. But I ended up running up to my friends at 89, which was like the back, the single track at Lake McMurtry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is totally sick track. In the dark, though, when you don't have a helmet light, you have, like, your handlebar. Like,
well, yeah, because
it was a bunch of, like, I thought I was going to die.
Because, you like, when you ride, if anyone has never ridden a mountain bike trail at night,
mm-hmm.
the bike is not really usually pointing the direction you need to see.
Yep.
Right? So
exactly.
The corner goes right, but the bike's not doing it yet. So
It was very, like,
least,
rigid for me.
At least you hadn't ridden, like, 80-some-odd miles of gravel before then, right? So you were really clear mentally.
I had, like, all the energy in the world. I was like, let's do this.
Clarity is high.
I was completely destroyed at this point. Like I said, I ran into my friend and another lady I knew from cycling, and we all, like, ended up toughing it out together. There was some bike walking. There was some, like, tears of, like, joy that, like, we are so close to the finish line.
So close.
But I couldn't wait to hear on the GPS, like, you know, within less than 5 miles.
Yeah.
And that was, so it was a whole experience. I do suggest going in with some training, having like a strong, like mental, toughness.
But you know, the gravel environment, that adventure environment, it breaks you down.
Mm-hmm.
Cycling, I find though, is infinitely, has infinite opportunities for humility.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like no matter what I've done, because I've done some racing, I've done some riding, I've done some endurance and some adventure. And none of those experiences that I feel like, man, I've figured this out. Because as soon as I've ever felt that, like in the next 3 to 6 months, something happens. And I'm like, I'm terrible. I have so much to learn.
So much to learn.
Yeah.
Like some humility in like the first 15, I think it was, I'm like, I had my bike, like tip top maintenance. Everything's great. You know, sealant's great in the tire. You know, everything. I just waxed my chain.
Dialed.
I'm like running over a bottle. And I'm like, oh, that was, and my bottle cage just flies off. So, like, of all things to not check was, like, check
the bottle cage.
Maybe check your hardware on your bottle cage every once in a while if you're on gravel.
That's the weirdest thing, like, bottle cages rattling, because it just always kind of happens in the middle of a ride. And then you have a bottle in there, and you're like, okay, this might fly off at any second, but I don't want to get dropped or, like, stop the ride. It always happens in the middle of something like that. You never notice it at a good time.
The good thing is, though, is, like, even though it was a very minor inconvenience for me, I did stop and, like, get my stuff together. People passing that, like, I knew, you know, of course, they're asking, like, hey, are you good?
Yeah.
But people that don't even know, they're, like, slowing down, like, hey, you got this, what's going on?
And,
like, it's super simple. It's,
no, that community part of it's really cool.
Exactly. And so that's what got me into it. Like, I went and, like, saw it the first year I went, which was 22,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, man, like, the community that it brings together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cycling event, but it's also a running event. If you're into that kind of wild stuff, you like to run, you don't think bikes are fun enough, you want to like torture yourself.
You know what? What's fun is we are the partner for Trio KC, the triathlon people we were talking about.
Yeah.
And they do their March No Cart You, which is one of their best events. They do it this Saturday. And last year I was out there and we just do SAG for the bike portion.
Okay.
But it's just north of their paved route they do out of Okarchi is a gravel road.
Okay.
I said, you should do a run gravel run. How cool would that be? And they actually bought the idea. They're doing it this Saturday.
Oh, see.
So they actually, all like, right, everyone gets a chance to, like, run the run. And you can do the paved route, or you can hop on your gravel bike, go and do the gravel route, and come back and then do it. So it's a gravel duathlon.
Nice.
And you're just open to connecting with people, because I told them, hey, there's so much of a running community, it seems, around the adventure events like Mid-South, Unbound, Rule of Three, any of them you're going to find have some kind of endurance running event. Like, runners like the adventure side, so you might find a crossover there. So I'm interested to see what that's like.
Yeah.
Coming
that's
Saturday.
Exciting.
But back to you, like, what? So 21, Mid-South.
Or 22 was my first.
22 was your
21
first.
21 was the first year I was introduced to it, and was like, but it was like the mud year. It was insane. But it was like the community. I was just like, I've got to sign up next year.
We were at a different location. This is our second location for the bike lab. Our first location is when Mid-South started. And I want to say the first year or two, it was like 36 degrees, icy, snowy, muddy, like the adventure scale. It was called the Land Run 100. The adventure scale of it was like off the charts. And it's only been recently, in the last few years, we've gotten some dry years where people are it's not so terrible.
Yeah, because I've often heard it referred to as a mud south.
Oh, yeah, because when it happens, that red clay, it's like sandpaper peanut butter. Just builds and builds.
I would say have your mud sticks. Have an extra water bottle for flushing, you know, your...
You know what the pro tip is? We have some guys that are mechanics out at Tinker, the Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a really thick rubber-style tape that they put on helicopters for the leading edge as it spins. And they put that on the inside of their frames for Mid-South.
Yeah, it's probably like F3 tape because...
Something like that, yeah.
I work at there.
Oh, you do too?
Yeah.
Well, you're like, yeah, I already know this information. Steven Schmidt was one of the guys that we have that comes through here, and he told us about that. So you're out of Tinker. Mm-hmm. You're a mechanic.
Yeah. So I use the, I put some of the aluminum, like that 500.
Oh, nice. There. Yeah, I'm already talking to the expert. And you're just smirking at me.
You're great. then I put some, I bought like a wrap and put like a wrap, you know, it's just because I've been like in a muddy situation in the chunk, like, just like
we here at the bike lab have seen bikes that have worn through the paint and the carbon,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the rear triangle. And, so and there's a hole.
Friends, yeah. And I was like, whoa, what can
ruins the bike?
Yeah, because there's only so many layers of carbon.
There's only so many there, and it's gone. And that's not really a warranty issue, right?
Like, no, that's a you issue. And, like preventative measures, you know, while you're on the route.
Yeah,
I mean, the best you can.
So, well, what got you into riding bikes? How long have you been riding?
So, it was probably. Was it 16 or 17? One of my friends I work with, Chris Fuller, is like used to ride with a G3 or not G3. Don't get me telling lies on what team he used to ride. But anyways, he's
like a bike racing team.
Yeah, and he's like, "What do you do? Like, you got this bike?" Like, because he'd like we're work buddies and he'd come over, before, and like, he was like, "What's up with this bike?" And he's like, "Come ride these bikes with us." And so I met up with him and Nicholas Townsend over at Hefner.
Okay,
and we're trying to like. I was like, where y'all at? And they're like, we're here. And I was like, well, this is where, anyways, we didn't ever catch each other until we all get back to the parking lot. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you not riding bikes with us more? Like, what happened? Because they couldn't catch me. And I was just like, I mean, it's Hefner. It's flat.
It's
and
just roll.
So from there, it was roll. Like, yeah, I just started rolling with them. And then I upgraded
was
bikes.
Was it PT-13?
Yeah. Yeah.
The black and pink kits for like, who was the guy? He doesn't ride anymore, I don't think. But he did a lot of really cool stuff. I forget his name entirely now. That whole team was around raising money for breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Because
his mother, I think, had dealt with that. I forget the guy's name entirely now, though. But that was a big old crew, though.
Yeah, it was a pretty big crew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Fuller, he's the guy that rode with them.
You had a bike before that, though.
Well, so I got a bike when I was getting my A&P, my car, my car broke down. I couldn't afford to fix it. I'm a student. You know what I'm saying?
So you got to do something.
I get this. Like, I was riding this, like, Schwinn to the airport from, like, 50th and MacArthur, right? Every day. And my instructor's like, you're doing this. And I was like, I have to make it to school.
Yeah.
And so he brings me his wife's. It's this, like, it's a Miata 912, like, this 90s model, like, sick bike. It's a little bit too small for me, but
still.
And it got me to and from.
Man,
and,
like, you get into a nice bike, yeah. It's the wrong size. It's way more efficient. Like, it helps you roll way better. So that's what you jumped on.
It's a fast bike, that's what I was rolling with them for a little while, and then it's an older bike. I started having, like, blown spokes all the time, so I was like, okay, you know, let's go ahead and just upgrade the whole bike and get a proper fitting bike.
Yeah.
And I got another road bike, and...
what'd you get that time?
It was a Specialized Roubaix.
Nice!
2012, I bought it from a buddy. It was, like, I think it was only, like, 4 or 5 years used, or when I... So
that's a great bike.
So I bought that in 17. Okay, so it must have been 16 when Fuller and them got me really rolling. And then 17, I bought that bike, because it was only, like, 5 years
Roubaix's
old.
A badass
and
bike.
It's a sick bike.
Yeah.
My dude that rolls around the city, Tony something or other, he's got the same bike. I've seen him up here at your shop before, but he's got, like, carbon wheels and...
Oh, yeah.
Sick bike.
Yeah.
So And then I ended up finding out about gravel as I was mowing out the farm one day, and I'm like seeing these people pass on bikes. It's the country. It's gravel. And yeah. I'm like, what the heck? Like, what's...
So what are they, like, doing out here? Is that a thing?
Yeah. And so, yeah, finally, like, after I see them after so many weekends, you know, through the summer, I was like, you know, come up to the road on the lawnmower and like, what's going on here? What is this? You guys are riding on gravel in there? Like, tell me about gravel bikes and stuff. So anyways, boom, into the gravel.
You were in right away, weren't
yep,
you?
Yep, hooked. Yep.
So what was your first gravel bike?
Oh, it's that checkpoint that I have.
It's the checkpoint you still yep. have. Yeah, okay, mm-hmm. cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're still rolling on that.
22 or, well, it's I bought it in 21, but I had to do a frame 14, so it's the 22.
Okay.
It's the SL 7 frame, but it's got like the SL 6 setup on it.
Okay.
It's the Sham Rival. It's,
nice.
Yeah, one by.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. it's a nice bike.
That's really nice.
Yeah. It's way more than I need. Like, I need to be like a better cyclist to like,
no,
but it's like, it's nice. It's like, you know, the carbon absorbs a lot of the impact
if you're,
out there.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, like working at a bike shop, and I've had in the last 12 to 13 years, I've had huge differences in my level of fitness, and the nicer bike is better for the person that needs the most help.
Yeah.
Right? 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 The people who are fast on anything.
Exactly.
But if you want some help and you just want a comfortable ride that does what it's supposed to do, a nice bike is perfect. You don't have to do the 10,000 or the 8,000.
Yeah.
If you get to that sweet spot, I think of like 2,000 to 5,000.
Yeah, I was like right at the 4.
Yeah. To me, that's like the bang for buck bike, where you're getting all the best features at the first price, and you can ride the life out of that bike, and it's just going to show up for you every time.
Yeah, and so yeah, and so I have another. My mountain bike is actually hydraulic brake, so it's nice to have another like fast roller, like actual fast roller that's a hydraulic brake. That was a nice upgrade when I got that bike, and it's like, it's the Bluetooth shifting, you know, that's super sick. Yeah,
the SRAM access, right?
Is like I was doing truffle shuffle this year, and my software pooped out on me, so
oh,
I was stuck in, at least it was, because there's a really terrible hill at the truffle shuffle, so I was like in the highest, like, you know, the climbing gear, and but that was unfortunate, because the rest of it was flat, so I was just like...
I actually, there's the Shimano system, the DI2, and when it starts to run out of battery power... Because the battery lasts in that like 3 to 4 months.
Oh, okay.
Once it starts to run out, though, the front derailleur stops shifting first. And the battery's inside the frame. You can't like hot swap batteries.
Oh, okay.
Like you can with the
like shrimps. Mine is, yeah.
Yeah, you can like switch it out. Have a repair kit.
Yeah.
You can do something with it. And I was, we got a crew of us together. And we went and did this ride. It's called the Copper Triangle. And it starts in Copper Mountain, Colorado, which is just east of Vail. It goes over a large mountain pass down to Leadville, and then from Leadville to the west side of Vail, and then through Vail, over Vail Pass, and then back down to Copper Mountain. Well, we went up the first pass, and as we were going down, I tried to shift to my big chainring because we just gotten done with that first pass, and you're going downhill for like 10 miles or something, right? So you need to be in the big chainring. Wouldn't shift. And I checked the system, and I had like, when it does that, you have like 100 to 150 shifts left of the rear derailleur.
Oh, gosh.
So
okay, make wise choices.
So I would get to the flats, and I just kind of stuck it in the gear. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to use it in the flats at all, and I'd only use it for the climbs. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, I had it for the climbs.
Okay.
But the flats, like sometimes I was in just like, for the flats, sometimes it was too big of a gear. And someone's like, why are you pedaling so slow? I'm like, I am not shifting this thing on the flats because I need it for the climbs.
Yeah.
So I felt like a personal accomplishment there. It was the Copper Triangle in 100 shifts or less.
Now, for your character, it's like, you made wise choices.
Well, I didn't make wise choices before the ride, which would have been just charging the stupid battery. I didn't pay attention to that. But while I was on there, I kind of figured it out. There's another Instagram account and ride you do, Gals, Gays, and Nays.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for us to get a chance to hear about how that started.
Yeah, totally.
What that's for and what the purpose and passion is behind that group.
Okay, so they started in like 2020, and I ran into them like 2021. Just mm-hmm. out like
so that's longer than I thought they'd been around. I thought they'd only been, I'd only been aware of them for a couple of years. So mm-hmm. it's cool they started that far ago in 2020.
Yeah, and so there's three of us now, and it's myself and Ben and Nico. Mm-hmm. And Nico is one of the original people. There was, I think, like three of them that originally started it. Mm-hmm. And you know, things happen. You know, life changes and.
Yeah,
people move on to other things, and it's just opportunity for the next person.
Yeah,
and, one day, you know, somebody will be refilling me.
Yeah,
but it's a great group. It's just like gals, gays, and theys.
Yeah.
So it's like a queer-based group, but everybody's welcome. Like, just be kind is all we ask. You come to our rides. Like, it's not like you have to be in the community. Yeah. Just be a good human. And so all welcome.
You need to be a person who can be able to accept people for who they are.
Yeah.
And have
as they are. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's we like to, you know, really be like no drop ride.
So more of a casual. So I would say
it's just like a casual social ride.
Is it like a fitness style casual, or is it like hide and go bike? Because hide and go bike is like party pace.
Party pace.
It's a little bit more than that, right?
It's like kind of adjusting because you never know who's going to show up.
That's
and
true.
So we'll adjust it to. And sometimes, like, we've had people like Tony Carfing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can't remember. Is that how you say his last name?
I think so. Yeah.
But he's come out with his kid in Sagan, the dog and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Rode with us several times.
Okay.
And so we'll just adjust it to, like, you know, who shows up and we know capabilities. And there's quite a few people that are regulars. And so, you know, when certain people show up, we can go a little faster and, you know, cover a little more ground.
But it's just kind of a point to meet where they know the environment's going to be such that that they're welcome and accepted.
It's welcoming. And it's safe.
Safe place.
Yeah.
So that group ride is it like a weekly thing or just like a as it happens thing?
Yeah. Well, right now it's like as it happens because of the weather, and so there is like a calendared season, but like the community that we're involved in is not like it's not things happen on a season calendar for us. So like we did a ride a couple weeks ago for the next Benedict Memorial.
Yeah.
Like one of our last big things of the season that we do, like on the actual per se calendar, is we do like a food drive on our bikes.
Oh,
and
cool.
When we do the food drives, you're welcome to bring, you know, whatever you want in advance and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we go like the places we source our items from are actually all like small local neighborhood marts or like locally owned. You know,
yeah.
Places.
So you roll up to the ride like with a backpack or something.
A backpack, like kitty cart. I brought one of those one year.
And then that way you sub at each place and you're kind of getting a couple things. By the time you're done, you have what you're going to donate.
Yeah. And like, so this last year we have pictures on our page, on the Gals, Gays, and Theys page.
Mm-hmm.
And the grocery items, like we picked up, like we used my truck to take them over there. And I have a full size bed.
Yeah.
And it like covered the bed. Now it wasn't like overflowing or anything.
But it covered it up. Yeah.
Yeah. It was incredible.
That's really, really cool.
We took it over to this year. We donated the goods to CSU, that youth organization.
Mm-hmm.
To help shelter like homeless youth.
Yeah.
So,
it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'll link to that in the like whenever I post about the podcast and get it out there just so people are aware of it, because I think safe places like that, and you know, cycling is already kind of a thing that I have always found it attracts the best personalities of people.
I believe so too.
Right, because you don't want to be as status quo as everyone else that's out there. Because otherwise you wouldn't be on the road on your bike half the time. But that to me creates the most interesting conversations out there. And so I think that as soon as I heard about that group, and I've seen some of my friends I've met and made on Hide and Go Bike be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've just really appreciated the whole communication and temperament of it
the
whole time. So we'll link to that and get people aware of it. If someone wanted to join on that ride, they would just need to be following the Instagram account and just kind of see when the ride's posted.
Yeah. And so, I missed the whole part of like, is it weekly or so? We do have, the calendar season kind of opens up about the same time as, our friends at Hide and Go Bike.
Okay.
And, we do on Sundays, but sometimes we do like, we've done like a tunnels tour before, like, you know, the downtown underground tour.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Those are only Monday through Friday. So sometimes, you know, but we'll post on it like, hey, it's going to be a different kind of a ride.
So you'd say in general, once the season happens sometime in April, it's typically a Sunday ride?
Yep. It's usually a Sunday ride.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And we try to be creative. Have focal points of something maybe new or a favorite that we've seen. But the cool thing is like anybody can come and lead a ride. Like let us know in advance, hey, I've got a route together. You guys want to do this route?
Yeah.
Like totally cool. So anybody, you guys come lead rides.
You can come lead a ride. Well, yeah, that would be really cool. A lot of fun. I know that we're partnered. Stonecloud has been really generous the last two or three years because the bike lab has done more like performance rides for a long time just because that's our roots. Like when we started, the three of us that started, we're all into racing.
Oh,
so it's just what we were into. So with our club and stuff, it's always been like having a table and stuff, like a mountain bike race or a road race or for our road rides. And so Stone Cloud's been a community partner and given us free beer. And yes. We want to always find a way to do something. So I might connect with you and we'll do something that like starts and finishes at Stone Cloud.
Okay.
Because I tried
it. And we've actually, downtown, we've hit them a couple times.
I tried that a couple times and it was hard to figure out because I'd have people who were like really performancey show up because mm-hmm. that was what they expected from Bike Lab. And then people who would show up that knew me from Hide and Go.
Oh, yeah.
And they were both in the same group. And so like there was one time I had to push. It was Amanda Weather's sister. Mm-hmm. Pushed her for like 10 miles.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because like everyone else was killing it, and I wasn't trying to have them kill it, but I was just trying to help, and it got hot. So I feel like that casual pace is a much better expectation of starting and finishing at a brewery.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll hit you guys up. We'll see what we can do.
That'd be great, that. Yeah.
Well, Blair, thank you so much for spending some time with us here.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having us over, or having myself and to represent our group.
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, I also appreciate you coming to the Galentine's event that we had.
Oh, that was a lot.
Wasn't that pretty cool?
It was, great to make those connections within. I met people that, like, we didn't know each other, but we knew people together, like my friend Bonnie and everything. And,
yeah.
And so it was great. Yeah.
Yeah. And Angela Kaufman, she's the current president of OBS.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually here earlier today. And she said, I felt like I was connected. But then I came to that event and I heard about things I didn't even know were happening.
Yeah.
And it's just so encouraging to see all the cycling development that's happened in the last few years. Coming into and out of COVID, I think there's been a lot of really positive community expression and engagement that's just encouraging.
Yeah, and there's so many more ladies I see on the road, on the trails.
Way more.
Coming to group rides.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's very empowering.
Yeah.
And it's just nice. It's cool riding with the dudes, but it's nice also having ladies on the trails with you too.
Yeah. Most of the dudes.
Yeah. Whatever, man. There's a good mix everywhere.
Well, again, thank you so much, Blair, for spending some time with us. We'll get this out there. And again, if you're listening to the podcast and anything here has resonated with you, you can always leave a comment wherever you found it posted. I'm going to tag Blair in it so she'll be aware of those comments and things. But if you have questions about getting connected with any of the rides that she's doing, or you just want to hear more about Mid-South and having good vibes, leave a comment, send a message. We'll get you connected. And thank you so much for listening to our podcast today.